Okay. Well, we are going to be in John chapter 8. And the title of my message, you can put it up there, is interesting. This last song you sang was I Am. So that was pretty cool. Meaning we never talked about that or anything. So I'm going to give you, we have a scripture reference we're going to look at. It's 11 verses. We're going to read through it in a minute. But before that, I want to give you a little bit of context to what we're looking at. Because the portion of scripture that we're looking at is only part of a conversation. So Jesus is in the temple. He's having a pretty in-depth conversation with some Jews. And it's pretty much almost all of the chapter. So we're not going to have time to go through the whole thing, but we're just going to grab the last 11 verses of it. But just to give you some context, I'm going to share a little bit of things that were said prior to the verses that we're talking about, okay? So the conversation started in verse 11, but our text is not starting until 48 or so, or it says right there, 48. So, but just to give you a little bit of background, little context, things that were said, these are some things that Jesus said prior to this conversation, not prior to this conversation, in this conversation, okay? One of the things he said is Jesus said, I am sent by my Father. He said, you don't know me or my Father. He said, I am going away and you can't come. He said, you will die in your sins. He said, abide in me and the truth will set you free. And he said, you are from your father, the devil, and seek to kill me. So these are the things that have been said prior to what we're jumping into. So it's a pretty headed, you know, it's not a light conversation in any means, right? Now, before we read the text, there's a couple things I want you to notice as we read this text, okay? Two things I want you to notice. Firstly, take a notice as we go through this verse, these verses, that Jesus is okay with confrontation. Now, you've probably already grabbed that by the stuff I've listed that's come prior, and you're going to see it more as we look into these verses that we are going to read. So that's one thing I want you to notice, is that he's not afraid of confrontation. The second thing I want you to notice as we're reading is that the people he's talking to, you can tell by their responses, they're not getting anything he's saying. Like, it's literally just going right over their heads. And I want you to take a notice of that, and I'll make mention of why after we're done. Okay, so if you want to pull it up on your phone, if you have a Bible with you, we'll pull up the verse on here. So John 8:48-59. Let's go through the scripture. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And the Jews said to him, now we know you must have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say to you that I do not know him, I would be like a liar, like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So that's a pretty heavy conversation, wouldn't you say? And I think it's pretty easy to say that Jesus doesn't have a problem with confrontation. he was pulling no punches. He's like, I'd be like a liar like you. So something I think we can pull from this when we see this kind of interaction is we can see that sometimes there's a place of confrontation. And certain personalities have no problem with confrontation. My wife has no problem with confrontation. Me, I'm a different type of personality. I like to avoid confrontation. But either way, it doesn't matter about personalities. You can see here that Jesus sometimes uses confrontation, and it's a healthy and a fruitful thing. The key is it has to be Spirit-led, right? It has to be Spirit-led. It has to be done in love, right? We know the scriptures that say everything should be done in love, right? So, but that's something I want you to notice that is quite interesting. Now, something that else that's quite interesting, I don't know if you noticed, when I read this the first time, like in this, not the very first time, but, you know, when I was studying this, do you notice how he says at the beginning, the Jews said, are we not right in saying you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And then Jesus answers and says, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father. So he answers the accusation of having a demon, but he doesn't mention anything about being a Samaritan. Do you notice that? So I thought that was kind of interesting. So then I did a little research, and I understood this a little bit better. So Jesus wasn't actually not answering that question, because they weren't actually challenging his lineage. They weren't saying he wasn't Jew. It was an insult, exactly. So in that time, the word Samaritan was not a noun. They used it as an adjective, like you're a dirty old scum, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a Samaritan, right? And even on top of that, in that time, okay, they spoke Aramaic, okay? So the word for Samaritan in Aramaic is, I'm not going to have this pronunciation right, but it's Sharomrai. And the word for prince of devils is Sharom without the I, just one letter different, no I on the end, which makes you think they could have been saying in Aramaic, prince of devils, right? You're the prince of devils and you have a demon. And he says, I don't have a demon. So he's answering it, wasn't he? I thought that was interesting. So if you're wondering what that was about, they were slandering him, right? That's a slander. If a Jew uses the word Samaritan, they're slandering you. Like they're being condescending, right? And that's what was happening. And Jesus refuted that most definitely, right? Okay. So the second thing I asked you to be meant or to watch while we were reading that scripture was, did you notice how everything was just going right over their heads? They just weren't getting it. They're, what? Who are you? You're not even 50. They couldn't get what he was saying. But when he said, I am, then they got it, right? They picked up rocks because they knew what he was talking about, right? They thought, this man is crazy. But there's a couple of things to pull from that, though, to realize that even though Jesus was talking and they didn't understand, I think that helps us, because we can see sometimes when, I don't know if you're in conversation sometimes and you're speaking to people and you're just like, this is a waste of time. This is going nowhere, right? You might feel like that. I do sometimes. But I think sometimes we need to realize that God's planting seeds, right? God's using words. His word remains. And we might not see the fulfillment of something powerful right in the midst, but that doesn't mean that God's not doing something. And so we need to be encouraged that just as we see Christ do it, he was speaking, and yet I'm sure there were some in the crowd that were getting it and some were definitely not getting it, right? And the other thing that's interesting too is that they need to be mindful of is that we know the scripture wasn't written to us, but it was written for us, right? We're reading an account of things that was done to someone else. And this, you can see clearly, sometimes Jesus was speaking. He even spoke at one time. I can't remember where the scripture is, but he says, I said this so that they would hear. I said this so that they would, you know, he knew it was being recorded, and he said it so that it would be. And so I think this is partly what's happening here. Christ is saying it for our benefit, not just for the benefit that we're in that room. Now, as we've gone through this passage, I'm going to pull out five things of the verses that we did, just very quickly, things that he was speaking. I'm going to we'll go over them quickly, and a couple of them I want to highlight on, which I think the Lord wants to highlight on today. First one we see is that Jesus said, I honor my Father. Not himself, right? And you can see in the scripture, Jesus honors the Father, and the Father honors Jesus. And that's such an interesting thing, right? It's not pride. If anybody could have pride and say, hey, I'm the man, it's Jesus, right? He could do that. He could rightfully do that. But he doesn't, right? And I think it's for our example. He's showing us how we as Christians should be, right? When you think of being humble, humble's not thinking that you're dirt and that you're small and you're worth nothing. Being humble is speaking about others, not lifting yourself up, not taking the attention to yourself, but putting it on. And that's how the church should be, right? We should be honoring each other and not trying to honor myself, but honor others, right? And I see that's the example that Jesus was doing here, which is amazing. The second thing he said was, if you keep my word, you will not see death. Now, they didn't get that, right? They thought physical death, but we understand what that means. That means eternal death, right? And that's a powerful story that we need to realize that that's what God's talking about here. Third one was, I know God and he glorifies me, which is what I just mentioned a little bit before. I thought this was interesting, this other point that he said. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. I thought that's interesting. Abraham saw it. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in times of conversation with people and you wonder, oh, you know, my loved ones have gone ahead. Do they see me from heaven? And there's always that question. And I'm not saying I know that for sure. But here's an example that we know that Abraham saw, right? He actually saw, which is kind of cool. Now, I don't know if that was just an opening that was special just so Abraham could see in our life, or if they just have, you know, a big front room glass and they can just see Earth all the time and look at us. I don't know. But at least it gives us a little bit of understanding that when he wants us to see or wants them to see, they can see, right? And I thought that was pretty cool. And then the last thing that he said, of course, is what we're really going to talk about today, is he said, before Abraham, I am. Which, that ended the conversation right there, right? He had to run away. So, what is Jesus saying when he said, I am? Well, in a very practical term, basically what he was saying is that when Moses was talking at the burning bush, yeah, that was me. That's what he was saying. And that just infuriated them, right? Saying that he's always been. Here's this man in front of them. He knows he hasn't always been. He's like 30. He was born over in Bethlehem. And yet now he's saying that he was not created. And it rattles everything, right? Rattles everything. But John understood that, right? We're in the book of John. Do you remember when we first started this journey? Back at the beginning, I want to show you a verse. John, in the first chapter, verses 2 and 3. You can bring it up there. This is what John is saying. He's talking about Jesus. He says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I am. Right? He's talking about the I am. And then Paul gets on the same theme. I'll show you a scripture out of Colossians. Colossians 1, 16 to 17. Look at Paul talking to the Colossians. In verse 16, he says, you got it there? He says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's a pretty encompassing statement, isn't it? He's covering all, you know, the whole thing. I was just listening just a little bit ago. I saw this little reel, and this guy was talking who's like, he had just letters and letters after his name, like all his degrees and stuff like that. And he deals with space and time and stars and light speed and gravity and, you know, all the stuff that happens out in space. And he was talking about how everything that's out in the universe and space, with the stars and the moons and all this stuff and the planets, he said everything is held together so perfectly and could so easily fall apart. Everything is exactly where it needs to be. The gravitational pull, the speed of light, the all the stuff that's playing, it's a delicate balance. It's perfectly designed, sitting in place, which is, he holds all things together. That's what he's saying here. So now let's go back to this scenario that we're thinking about, okay? This conversation. Think about the people that were in the crowd, who they thought Jesus was. Some of them thought he was a heretic. Now, heretic's kind of an old word. We don't really hear that word very often, so I got a definition for you. A heretic is a person who holds opinions, beliefs, or teaches that contradicts established religious dogma, official doctrines, or widely accepted foundational beliefs. So it's kind of like he was going against everything, right? That's what some of them thought. He was a heretic. Some people thought he was a teacher, right? They recognize, okay, this guy's a teacher. He's got people. He's teaching stuff. Some people believed even a little bit farther than that. They thought he was a teacher from God, meaning, okay, they recognized that this is some type of holy man who's teaching about God. Some people thought he was a prophet, right? Being a prophet, meaning, okay, this guy's from God, sent with a message specifically. And some people thought he actually was the son of God, like God's actual son. Here's a living, breathing man that is the son of God, kind of like half God, half man, maybe some of them thought, you know, like, you know how there's Zeus and then there's Hercules, and Hercules was, you know, half God, half. But then there were some people that recognized God, him as God, the I am, the creator, the sustainer of absolutely everything. So my question to you today, as we are a crowd ourselves, how do you see Jesus? Do you see him as a heretic? Someone that's just got some crazy ideas? Maybe you recognize him as a teacher. Or maybe a teacher of God. You can see that he is actually someone that understands God, or maybe he is a prophet. Maybe he's actually sent by God and he has a message to bring. Or is he the Son of God? Do you actually see him as the Son of God? Or do you see him as God, the I Am, the great creator, the sustainer of absolutely everything, my whole life, supreme authority, complete, holds everything together, and was before anything? You know, I am, when he said I am back in with Moses, that word, I am that I am, he says, it was not a noun. He wasn't saying a statement. It was like a verb. He was saying, I will be what I will be. I am existence. God wasn't interested in being put on the table with alongside all these other gods. He was the only God. There is only one God. There's only one that can hold that title. And that's who we're talking about today, the I Am. That's what he was saying. Now you might say, and as I do, I believe that, absolutely. I believe that. And it's one thing to believe the I Am of God here, in this place, in this scenario. It's another thing to believe it in here. And what I mean by that is through your daily life, the things that you are working through, the things that you are walking through, is the God of I Am there? When you have bills that aren't getting paid, is God the I Am in your life, in that midst? When you have a relationship falling apart, maybe a husband and wife, and either one, and you're struggling, and there's Or it could be siblings. It could be a different type of relationship. Maybe you're not married. And you have a relationship that's falling apart. Is there the God of I am in the midst of that in your life? Maybe when you can't find a job. I've been there. Sometimes it's hard to keep the perspective that God is the I am. When you have plans or goals that fall apart, you set to get this thing done and something out of your control just changed it and things fell apart and you're feeling like, is God the I am then? When you're still sick after being prayed for, is God the God that I am as you're dealing with some disease or some sickness? How do you walk forward from that in the midst? When you try to stand but bend to some temptation, you slip, you fall, trying to pick yourself back up again. You know, I easily made this list. Easily. You know why? Because I've had them all. I've been in them all. And sometimes a bunch of them all at the same time. That's really rough. And it's like, oh Lord, where's the God of I am? Now there's another side to this. I know I've shared all the negative stuff, but it could be positive too. You could be in a place in your life where, man, it feels like the stars have aligned and things are going well. I'm just like skipping a beat. I can't wait to get up in the morning and hit my next day. And that can be a distraction. That could be something that could pull you away. The God of I am could not sometimes, remember how he said to the children of Israel, finally they were going to the land flowing with milk and honey. They'd have vineyards they didn't plant. They'd have all this stuff and everything. And he said, what did he say? Don't forget me, right? So that could be the other side too. That can be something that's very, very real. So how do I keep the great I am in the center? I'm going to make this very practical. I had a preacher, one of the first preachers in my life, and he said to me, if it's not practical, it's not spiritual. And that's the truth. You can apply every spiritual aspect of your life. It's not like, woo. No, it comes down to practical things in your life. So I'm going to show you a scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Listen to this verse. Isaiah is speaking to God, okay? You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So you see the formula there? There's peace to be had, but what needs to happen? Your mind needs to be stayed on him. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Okay, now listen to this next verse. In Philippians 4, this is a very common verse, but it goes right off of this verse that we were just talking about, this peace, okay? Paul's talking to the Philippians. He's ending off his letter. He says to them, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worth of praise, think about these things. Right? Stayed on you. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the what? The God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. This is a covenant, this thing, this peace thing. Let's go back to Isaiah. I got one more verse I'm going to show you. One more verse. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of what? Peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. So he has a covenant of peace toward us. So what do we do when we look back at all, remember the ugly list? All the struggles we face? I'm sure we could have went around the room and everybody could have identified with, you know, at least one of those in there, right? So how do we get through that stuff? We stay steadfast, right? Like Paul says, what you have learned and have received and heard and seen in me, basically, brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? That's why it's so important that you're part of a body, that we practice these things and we keep going forward. You know what happens when the bad things in your life happen and you focus on them? Do you know what happens to them? They grow. And what happens when you focus on God's stuff and you get it and you stay tuned to that thing? Those things grow. Same thing, right? Wherever you spend your time. Think of a pendulum, right, that has a weight, right? You put rocks on this side, it tips this way. You put rocks on this side, it tips this way. Whichever you're doing, right? So you have problems, issues in your life where it's never going to go away. You're always going to be dealing with stuff. But how are you going to counter those stuff so that the scales don't tip? How do you live your life so that you don't live in a deficit? Spiritually, I'm saying, right? How do we do that? We got to port stuff on the other side. We have to keep diligent. This is where it comes very practical. Do the things you need to do. You've heard Ifani say many times when he preaches, he says, if this is the only time you eat, you're in trouble, right? We got to eat all the time, spiritually. You can fast. It's good to fast, you know, real food. That's a spiritual practice that we should do sometimes. But don't ever fast spiritually. That's stupid. But honestly, I'm up here to be the first one. I've done it. I've been in the midst of things, and it just seems like one thing after another, and I'm rolling around, and I'm not, and I get sidetracked, and I don't feed where I should be feeding, and the scale gets turned, and I lose focus, and I feel, ugh, and I come to church, and people go, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm pretty good, right? That's a bad term when we say that, right? Because we're not really asking how they're doing; it's just a greeting. But I don't know. I almost should get away from that. Just say, hey, glad to see you, instead of saying, hey, how are you? Because I'm not really asking you to sit down and share all your stuff, right? Let's be honest, we're not. But anyways, so that's my challenge to you today. And I'll be honest with you, when I was putting this message together, I was like, Lord, I want to be sitting down. I need to hear this, not be speaking it. So I'm a product of this myself, you know, that we need to keep centered, right? And it comes back to what Craig was saying, the scripture he read out of Psalms from, what's his name? Yes, that guy. The same thing he said, right? He was talking about the same thing, being focused on the same thing. That's being steadfast. Okay, I'm done. But do I have a video? Awesome. I have a video I want you guys to hear. And it's just a 3-minute long video. He's a preacher in the States back in the 80s and 90s. I think he's passed away now. This is just a clip of one of his messages, and some people put some funky video with it, but I want you to hear what he's saying, okay?